Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us, come and learn with us. It seems like these days there's just so many things that a lot of people are shocked that is being put forth before them, but these are the days we live in, and we're so grateful for our guests, such as Mr. Dan Fraley, to really kind of shine the light on what the Bible says about what's going on today. There's nothing new under the sun, and God in His goodness gave us a book of Holy Scriptures, His Word, so that we can have words, really, as you know, some people have said, to live by. With that in mind, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Dan Fraley, our teacher of Hebraic Roots. And Mr. Dan, would you mind starting us off in prayer that God would bless this conversation?
I'd be glad to. Abba, Father, Bruketh, Adonai. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for another day. Lord, we thank you for the rain that's so sorely needed here in South Alabama. Lord, we thank you for our lives. We thank you for all the things that you've done in our eyesight, in our families, and all that we do. Father, we just ask you to bless this program and bless those who are hearing. Lord, I hope that there are some out there that are listening that do not know you as the Messiah, Father, that they may ask you into their hearts and see the change that will come to their lives. Father, I just ask you to touch our lips and have us say only the things that you would have us say to glorify and to uplift you as we speak about your chosen this morning, Israel, in the last days and how things are changing so rapidly on the world scene between those who love Israel and those who hate Israel. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do say. And Lord, we just praise you once again in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Dan. And we thought we would have you on Monday, so we titled that Bible Prophecies or something. But Mr. Dan, people are anxious. They really want to hear from you. They're troubled with a lot of the things that they're hearing. And I'm sorry, Ms. Dan, I'm hearing reverberation all of a sudden. I don't know if it's me. Anyway, that's better, I think.
I turned my volume down. That might be getting
okay.
Back
okay.
In the volume. One thing to keep it one thing to keep in mind about here in the last days is, you know, first of all, the Bible prophecies tell us that God will intervene for Israel in the last days. But think about that, because God cannot intervene to save Israel without there being an attack on Israel and having nothing to save them from. So as the onslaught in the world comes against Israel, it says in the scriptures that all nations will come against Israel in the last days. We wondered how that would have been fulfilled a few years back, but our president has declared that this nation is no longer a nation of Christians, and we've pretty much shown by his actions, you know, you are judged by the fruit that you bear. He's pretty much thrown Israel under the bus. So I think as far as our government goes, we've pretty much turned our eyes against Israel. Here, just in the last couple of weeks, we gave Egypt Abram tanks, and we gave them 20 brand new F-16 aircraft, which brings their Air Force up to 270 aircraft, fighter jets capable of coming against Israel, and we know they will. And they have 77 Abrams tanks, the most advanced tanks that we have in their arsenal. And what I don't understand is Obama giving this type of arsenal to the Egyptians here, knowing that this new leader is unstable and very anti-Semitic. So if we're such a nation that wants to bring order and peace to the world, why are we arming those that are enemies of Israel? That bothers me. So that's just one of the things that to fulfill prophecy, things have to start deteriorating against Israel. But remember, when God changes the fate of Israel, which side do we want to be on? Are we going to be on the side that's pulling sanctions against Israel and cursing Israel? Because my Bible tells me that those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. When he comes back to glorify Israel and to save them, I want to be on their side, and I want to be on their side now. And that's just my mindset, and I think I'm following the scriptures pretty accurate. He asks us to be watchmen of the world. And one of the prophecies that you wouldn't ordinarily think of a prophecy is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying at the rock, and he asked his disciples three different times to keep watch and to pray with him. That's pretty much prophetic about our day and time. Christians are not keeping watch over Israel, and they're not praying for Israel. And just as Peter, claiming that he would follow Jesus anywhere and do anything, we as Christians are like Peter, and we will deny Christ during the hard times that's coming against Israel and the earth in the last days. So we better prepare ourselves and really start dabbling into the scriptures, digging out the truth to find where we need to stand in this day and hour, because the scriptures are telling us, you know, actually, we're at Luke 22:53, where it says, "This is the hour of the power of darkness, of power and darkness that's coming on the earth." And we have to be prepared for that, because things are going to get really bad really quickly for everyone, especially Christians, because Satan is really on the move right now. And I know that the Christians out there listening, they've had a lot of things come against them in the last few months, a lot of stress, a lot of situations, financial, family. Our Bible tells us to praise and thank God even during the hard times, because that just lets us know that things are fixing to get better.
Mr. Van, I think when the enemy thinks it can weaken the United States of America, that, you know, because we are made weak, that we will be of no help to Israel. And you almost see a plan, a really great plan from them to destroy this nation, not just on the outside, from the within. And, you know, just imagine if you were able to change the mindset of a generation to be pretty much anti-God and pro-Islam. Wow.
Well,
what a mindset.
Could you imagine if Islam today, right now while we speak, started coming against Israel with all their forces? It would take several months just for our president and Congress to argue things out, Congress to decide if they're going to help Israel or not. And it'll have been too late then. That's one thing. I mean, he has confused our government. Our government is so split that nothing can get done. We're at a stalemate. We have been for the last 4 or 5 years. And also militarily, you see how Obama has bringing the funds for the military way down. It's okay to give the enemies of Israel planes, but by God, help Israel? No, or even increase our military forces. And if there ever was a time that we need to be building up our military, it seems it would be now, because we know the whole world. I mean, look at North Korea. You know, and we are so deeply indebted to China. China's going to want in and foreclose, want to come in and foreclose on their note, and they may have to do it forcefully. And look what Islam's doing all over the world, even in our own nation. Islam has pretty much taken root in every state in this country, and they're not doing it by accident. They're doing it purposely. Oh, they say they come here because they want to get away from the tyranny that they're facing in their own countries, but when they're here, they're trying to turn our country into the same thing that they left. They're just tools, instruments of the devil.
Well, one of the things, you know, that we are very much really being made aware of just recently is the onslaught into our children's minds. And I just heard in the news today about a Maryland principal who was, you know, for allowing those professing Islam to, you know, be able to pray in school, you know, have time for that. And I'm thinking, you know, what a change that is. You know, if you're a Christian, you're certainly not welcome to do that. But if you're of this faith, it's being held to such a high standard now, Mr. Dan, and with Obama leading the charge for the nationalization of our schools, one of the things that's news that's coming out of Texas is they are going to be promoting, the Obama administration will be promoting what's called Allah is God curriculum. But, Mr. Dan, you know, the most troubling thing for me is really, with all the danger signs of what's coming about, we know that Israel is going to be pressed on all sides, and it's not going to be too long from the way it looks. I'm thinking every family has got to start looking out for their own family. Are we ready? And I'm thinking it's just like the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy right at the very end, and he's wanting to take these young people's minds and lead them away from Jehovah God.
Well, that's the whole purpose. If you prepare the children for the future, well, if you get a hold of the children's minds while they're still young and malleable, then you've got them for life. And we saw that with you see how the well, just this week, the gays and the Boy Scouts, it's like 60-something% to people of this nation say that it's okay, and only 30-something say that it's not okay. Well, if you would have taken that survey 20 years ago, it would have been just the opposite. It's because in the school systems, our curriculum has shown, oh, it's okay to have two mamas and two daddies and so on and so forth. So it's instilled in the kids to say, well, it's okay. You know, they love each other too. It's just like Obama's speech. He says, you know, gay people love each other just as heterosexual people love each other, so why shouldn't they have the same rights? This is what they're instilling, and if they can get Islam embedded in it, what's wrong with Islam? Islam is another path, another way to God, so quit coming down on Islam. Let's teach Islam in our schools so people can understand Islam. It's 20 years, not even 20 years, 10 years from now, Islam is going to be a glorified religion in this country. It's already becoming that way. And it's not only happening in the schools, the prison systems. The Saudi Arabians have given any kind of free training and curriculum offered to any prison system in the United States, and they're hitting it hard. Our prisons right here in Alabama are full of the materials and Qurans and anything that you want to get your hands on for Islam. Islam is allowed to teach their scriptures daily. They're allowed to pray 5 times a day daily, and Christians are given 30 minutes on Sunday, and that's it.
Oh, Mr. Dan, it's really very troubling times, and I do think It is time to get ready. And, you know, we say and we hear that, you know, we know the end of the story. We win. But I think one of the things that a lot of parents are missing is, you know, we know the end of the story, but not all our children may be going where we're going, because the enemy is really just on the attack, which we know that the enemy likes to cause a lot of pain. And I would think there's nothing more painful than to see, you know, your children, your grandchildren, you know, being led away from the Lord if you're a Christian. And I'm just praying that there would be a great awakening, Mr. Dan, because I'm thinking about the church. Because, you know, the church studies that Bible and knows the signs of the times.
Well, one of the problems with the church right now is they're so immersed in grace, and they think that grace is all they need, and they wash themselves with grace, and everything else is okay. That God will take their care of them, and God will help them through these hard times and all that. Well, this may be fine and true, but remember, Jesus had to go through Gethsemane, the cross, before the heavenly light shone through him. You know, we have to go through our times of darkness. And, you know, we say that we accept the Messiah and want to emulate the Messiah, but when he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, actually what he was saying there is follow after me. In other words, do as I do. And it seems like the churches are, you know, once they have given the message that Jesus died for your sins and he has washed you in his blood and you are righteous, that's all you need to do. But if we don't start working in the fields, we're going to have a pretty upset God. We are going to be standing before the judgment of an angry God, even as Christians. You know, I want my master to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not faithful robot, not faithful, well, you believed in me, so yeah, you made it in. You know, I want to be on the forerunner. I want to be the forerunner. I want to be on the crest of the wave. I want to make sure that I choose righteousness and a path of integrity so that my Lord and Savior will say, good job. You did a great job. I don't want to get a C on my report card, so to speak. And we are told to strive for that righteousness, because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And we should be praying for Israel right now, and we need to pray for the Jews. The Jews pray for the King of the Jews to come all the time, but Christians, we need to be praying for the Jews of the King. And that's what they are. The King chose them, not us. And too many of us have been brought up in religion thinking, oh, the Jews were just Christ killers. No, they were chosen to be the sign to the rest of the lost tribes of Israel, to the world, as a sign that God is with them when they are disobedient. God punishes them. When they are obedient, God delivers them. We've seen that over and over and over through their battles, being they're being outnumbered, and the weaponry is just out. Technology is just far greater than Israel, and so on. But yet God has intervened. And, you know, just like I said earlier, just one nation, Egypt, has 270 fighter planes to come against Israel. Israel's full fighter jet force only equals to 240 planes. So they're outnumbered by one nation, and that's not counting Syria and Iran and Lebanon and Jordan and all these other Arab countries that have the technology that we've given them. God and well, Jesus, Yeshua, will deliver Israel, and he will be a sign to the world that he's 100% behind Israel. But there's going to be a lot of darkness before that point in time coming upon the earth. And we are in the midst of it, because we are that generation that's promised by the covenant of Yeshua himself. We're the generation that would see these things take place, because we saw the nation of Israel come back together after 2,000 years. And I am a physical sign for that, because I was born in 1947. Israel became a nation in 1948. So in my lifetime, maybe less a year, an average lifetime, generation of 72 years, I'm going to see that happen. And people who are younger than me will most definitely see the Messiah coming in his power and his glory. And the main reason he's coming back is to deliver Israel from her enemies as a sign to the world that he is who he is. But it's going to be too late then, because if we're all caught up into Islam and to Buddhism and Hinduism and Zoroastrianism, all these other crazy religions that's going on, and there's many paths to this, there's many paths to that, and it's okay to be homosexual and follow and be a Christian and so on and so forth, there's going to be a sad awakening. It's a great and dreadful thing to be thrown into the arms of an angry God, and that's what's going to happen in the last days.
Oh, I think so too, Pastor Dan. And in the hands of an angry God, and I remember the scripture about the millstone. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Can you tell us a little bit of what that meant, Pastor Dan, that scripture?
Well, bottom line is it better not to ever even existed than to harm a child or to steer a child into a path of unrighteousness and destruction. There's a special place in hell for those who teach against the teachings of Christ. And that's just plain and simple. You can take it just like it is. It would have been
Pastor
better
Dan,
for them.
That really scares me when I think of the wonderful teachers all throughout the country. Many are Christians. And we hear about a story in Texas about one teacher who had to stop teaching. He could not teach this Islam curriculum. And I can see why. Because that scripture right there, if you're a true Christian and you understand the Word of God, that ought to scare you to do the same thing he did, which is really you've got to, get off that and find you another job. And I'm wondering, Mr. Dan, more and more of this is going to come out in the news, and I cannot help but think that Mr. Dan, this scripture is going to scare a lot of teachers because, I know there's a lot of teachers that's there because, you have to feed your family. But, Mr. Dan, the scripture's very clear. If you're going to teach that kind of curriculum, God's going to hold you accountable.
Well, exactly. And God, our Messiah and God, he is God. Everybody has to make a decision, either to serve him or to be opposed to him. There's no sitting on the fence. So these are tests that's coming against the world. God is testing. He doesn't want, No, he's going to drive you to the point you're going to make a choice. Yes, I am going to serve you no matter what happens to me in my life, no matter what obstacles and darkness comes about me. I'm going to stand firm in you. Or you're going to say, did God really say that? It's not going to hurt the teacher. After all, I have to support myself. I can't give up my teaching job, so I better not say anything about this. That's making a decision right there that it's okay to open the door to the devil. So it's going to be hard for people, and that's what the time of Jacob's trouble is all about. That 7 years of tribulation we're fixing to come into is a time of decision-making. And not just the 7 year period of tribulation, but those few years right before, it's going to be just as important. Now, Christians have been taught that, we're going to be raptured out of here before that time of trouble. They better start studying their scriptures a little bit closer. Because I read about those who are martyred for Christ that's under the throne of God that will be specially glorified in the white robes. If nobody's here on earth and everybody's been raptured off, who led those to godliness? Who led those to the foot of the cross? They're not going to do it on their own. There has to be shepherds. There has to be teachers and rabbis to direct these people. Personally, I think that we at least have to go through 3.5 years of the tribulation period before the Great Tribulation. I think the Great Tribulation is the time where there is no goodness, there is no Spirit, Holy Spirit anywhere around. I mean, you can still be saved at that point, but I think it would be very, very hard. That's just my personal interpretation of it. But as Christians, we better be ready to face some really hard times. And these feel-good preachers just bother me when they say, oh, you know, eat this, do that, oh, take care of this, do that. You know, everything's feel-good. We're under grace. Everything's okay. We are not warning our people to prepare themselves for a very dark time coming upon the earth. And that's not only preparing spiritually, that's preparing your family, protecting your family. You know, why do you think that the government so, excuse the expression, hell-bent on taking our arms away? That's exactly what Stalin did before he slaughtered his people. That's exactly what Hitler did before he slaughtered his people. That's exactly what Pol Pot did before he slaughtered his people. If you take the guns away from the righteous people in this country, it's all over with. You have nothing to protect yourself with. So you have to not only prepare yourself spiritually and mentally, you have to prepare yourself physically against the onslaught that's coming against us. Our government is fixing to be a very tyrannical government. Our president is hell-bent on being a dictator. We see that by the actions, overruling Congress. Making executive orders in many things. He's thinking even about doing an executive order against gun control. And I could get real preachy here, but we have to understand, and we better learn real quick, it's not going to be peaches and cream in the next how many ever years it is before the Lord returns.
Well, Mr. Dan, you know, when you talk about Israel, you know, and we hear you, it is a sign for us for the times. And these are God's people. And, you know, one of the things that I think about when I, you know, study a little bit about the Crusades, that this was Christians warring against the Jews. And I'm thinking, isn't that an oxymoron? How can you call yourself a Christian when you would commit these atrocities to, you know, to the apple of God's eye, to the people that God loves? So, you know, I think it's been misnamed, you know. The word, the name of Christ is being used, and really, you know, that is not what it was. Those were not Christians. They call themselves Christians, but I guess we get that testing right now, Mr. Dan, because when you were talking about this and the scripture, and I'm just thinking about the teachers, you know, the education system is so huge. It hires a lot of people. There's a lot of people working under that. And when they have a taskmaster now that is bent on moving the children away from really the mind of Christ, which is what the nation was intended when it set out, you know, with its constitution. It was made for a godly people to have a place to, you know, to really promote Christianity throughout the world. But now we have lost, we are losing that, and this government is taking charge, and it's now going to form the children's mind. And I'm thinking, what to prevent parents from going to their pastors and saying, you know, you've got to take a stand. And I just don't see how parents can be fearful of their pastors and not be more fearful of what's going to happen to their children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, take Germany, for an example. Before World War II, they all felt that they were good people. They were just being programmed with a mindset kind of like we're going through now. And it was an anti-Semitic mindset. And they did it through Christianity then. The German people considered themselves a Christian nation, but the Jews were Christ killers. And even the soldiers that fought under Hitler thought that they were in the service of God, because they, even on the military belt buckles that they wore, it said in service to God, the SS troops. I mean, they actually felt that they were doing the world a favor by exterminating the Christ killers. And all that's based on a false teaching by the Romans early in the church age, by placing the blame on the Jews, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And people aren't reading closely to the scriptures and realizing the same people that glorified Christ as coming into Jerusalem as their king weren't the same people that said crucify him. They were camping out with their children late at night, ready for the next day of Passover. And the people that were standing at the court in front of Pontius Pilate's house was just the hierarchy of the church that was afraid to lose their power in the church, and the zealots that wanted some military force to come against Israel. So it's always been a lie, because my Bible tells me that myriads of people gave their hearts to the Lord in Jerusalem after Christ's death. So it's not like they turned from Christ. It's like they were glorifying Christ. They knew that he was the Messiah. It's the misteachings that came down from the hierarchy of the church that caused the death. But just remember that Christ gave his own life on that cross. If he wouldn't have died on that cross, where would we be today? We might as well be serving Islam.
Oh, and Mr. Dan, I think, isn't it in Amos where it talks about a famine for the word of God? And I'm thinking, aren't we kind of living in these times, you know, where there's going to be that? Because, you know, there's a lot of people now. The Bible is not everywhere and read. You know, they kind of sit in the corner in a lot of households now. And there's so many people that are so intellectual, are so successful, and they saw it as their own success and not attributing it to the mercy and grace of God. That, you know, they found that they have no need of God. And so it's almost like, you know, this country has just, in our country anyway, it seems like today, like there is a famine. You know, it's not being taught in our schools. It's certainly not welcome. And as we were talking earlier with the Boy Scouts, you know, it's going to even get worse because, you know, the mindset of those children are now going to be turned. And, Mr. Dan, I'm thinking, you know, even Texas, who they're going to try to get this out. But, you know, it reminds me of pornography. Once you see, it's very hard to get rid of it. And I'm thinking, you know, they've really got to work at telling the children about how wrong that was, you know, because it's been taught to so many of them. And that's going to affect maybe, a huge group of children. I think it was in 80% of their state schools, if I heard that right.
Here's a little saying that the Jews use, and I guess it refers to the Jordan River, but it, you know, when they're trying to explain how to, you know, going against the things that are happening in the world, they say, fish that are alive swim, and they swim against the current. Those of us who are alive, we swim. We're active for the Messiah and so on and so forth. But think of Israel and the Jordan River. If a fish doesn't swim and he's not swimming against the current, where does he wind up? He winds up in the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, where no life can exist. You know, these Christians that don't crack their Bibles open and they don't take their Bibles off the shelf, they're flowing with the current. They can't help to because their brain isn't being programmed with truth and the proper knowledge. And they're sure not going to get it even if they go to church an hour a day, at least not very much, because our pastors are afraid to preach about hell. They're afraid to preach the truth because they're afraid to lose their job. If pastors, like in the old days, weren't paid and they had jobs on their own and they were doing it because they had a calling and they were doing it from the heart, and money wasn't talking to them. They spoke what they wanted to speak, what God and the Holy Spirit convicted them to speak. But how many churches have you been involved with or even know of that give a hellfire and brimstone preaching anymore, or even get people zealous for the Lord about doing great works here in the harvest time?
Yeah, not very many. It's really heartbreaking, when you start looking at that and how we do need that great awakening. We do need that national repentance. And, you know, Obama may do what he wants to do, but the churches can do what they need to do because our God is Jehovah God. I hate to say it, but some people, you know, it seems like they have promoted a different God. But they call themselves Christians, Mr. Dan. And, you know, I'm just really thinking, Lord, help them to wake up. help us to see the truth. And I'm thinking, you know, surely they love their children more that they would seek out the truth. But Mr. Dan, it's almost like for some of them, they'll just turn, you know, they'll just turn their ear away from the truth. They don't want to hear it.
Well, I mean, who has time to hear it anymore? The devil's got such control of all the media and everything. Our kids, their faces are... Do you see kids playing outside anymore? Can you walk into any home in America and not see the man sitting in one room watching TV and his wife in a totally separate room watching TV because they don't like the same programming? Families are tuned out from one another anymore. The children are being raised by media. And so are the parents. I mean, they're being whatever training they had when they were young pretty much has been lost. I mean, I'm speaking to myself here, too. The devil has got our minds so busy with all the technology and everything else that's going on in this day and time that it's a very simple thing to not think about Jesus. It's a very simple thing to be taught in school that there's no such thing as creation, that it's evolution, because everything is millions and millions of years old. But you know what's exciting to me is if you read your scripture closely, they fit each other. I mean, the theory of relativity that Einstein came up with, which is not a theory anymore, is proof, and the theory of the Big Bang that came out in 1965 is not theory anymore. It's proof. So if our universe is expanding, and at the very point that our universe was created, if there was an intelligent being standing there and flickering a laser beam every second, and our universe is expanding, the further it's expanding out, the longer it's going to take that laser beam to reach the outer part of that expansion. So if we look back through earthly fossil eyes, it looks like millions and millions of years, but when we look back historically, biblically, it's only been 6,000 years, but our universe is expanding. And you can figure out this stuff mathematically. So it took a Jewish scientist with a theory of relativity because we are relative to the time that we are in. And Adam and Eve in the beginning was relative to the time that they were in. And that time is different because we are an expanding universe. So actually it fits. But nobody brings that up. Nobody teaches that. All they want to do is teach godlessness. Oh, and you know, God can't be for real because we have dinosaur bones that are 15 million years old in the universe. The furthest planets galaxies we can see are 15 billion light years away, and it took 15 billion years for those lights to reach us. How can the Earth only be 6,000, or the universe only be 6,000 years old? The only way to explain it is the universe is expanding. And yes, there was a Big Bang. Christ spoke it himself into existence. Didn't it say, John 1, that all things were created by him and through him? Nothing was created. Nothing that's been created was created. Everything that was created through him, and interpreting it wrong. So, yeah, when you speak it into existence, that's a pretty big bang theory. That's a big bang right there.
And, you know, I love what you say about really that, you know, that God's economy is different from man's economy. You know, God's time is different from man's time. God's perspective is different from man's perspective. God's help is different from man's help. And I think for too many people, you know, that we're just focusing on what's before us and not realizing that, you know, the Bible and everything it says in it is true. God is sovereign, and you dare not go against the apple of God's eye, Israel, but those powers that are in place in Washington, D.C. right now have a mind of their own, and it certainly lacks the understanding of the Bible. They're doing everything, as a matter of fact, that they can against the Bible, but it's too bad, Mr. Dan, because at the end of it all, you know, it doesn't matter what they believe or not.
Well, nobody's going to go to hell by chance. They're going to have to choose to go there. And the same works for heaven. Nobody's going to go to heaven by accident. You're going to have to choose to go there. And there's no in between. There's only two paths. You either choose light or you choose darkness. You either choose life or you choose death. You either choose Satan or you choose Christ. There's no millions of paths to, you know, to salvation and all that kind of stuff. We have a choice. That's why we're here. We were given a body, a spacesuit in this system that God built for us, the solar system that we live in. He built us a spacesuit to be able to endure it. That's our bodies. We have to breathe air to stay alive. He provides for us what we need. And if you look at it economically, he gives us the thing that we need to stay alive the most is free, and that's air. And each thing that we have to need to stay alive, like food and water, air is first, and then I would say water and food is second, but you have to work a little bit harder for that. You have to go draw the water from the well, or you have to go gather your food substance, or to kill an animal that's gathered the food substance for you. And it goes all the way to, I want that Mercedes-Benz. You have to work a little bit harder for that. But God has provided our needs, just like the birds of the field. And if we were just homeless people, we could still make the choice. The choice is the same as it is for Bill Gates. It's either you choose light or you choose darkness, no matter what position you're in. You either choose light or dark, and that's exactly why we're here. We have to choose. Because once he comes and once it's all over, we've already accepted the eternal kingdom that we have chosen to live into. And personally, I want to live in a system of light, love, grace, the things that are promised in the Bible, not chaos, darkness, misery, backstabbing, of the dark side. It's just common.
Well, and Mr. Dan, you know, I'm hearing the news about, we hear about Karl Rove and, you know, his new pack, and, you know, he's going to choose people that are electable. And I guess it doesn't matter what they stand for. And I'm thinking, again, it's a move towards, you know, really a compromise away from, you know, the Word of God. And I'm thinking, when that happens, it's really not a win. If you have a person who won but doesn't know about the Word of God, does not follow the Word of God, it's not a win. Not for us anyway.
Like you said earlier, we know what the back of the book says. I just want to be one of those that truly have accepted the covenants that the back of that book has promised. So personally, I've already made that choice. And to me, the rest of my life, it's important to me to try to get the truth across to those who haven't accepted that. It's a dreadful thing for somebody to say there is no God, and then there is a God. You know, if you're an atheist, you better be right. I've seen that on a bumper sticker before, and there's so much truth to that, because it's going to be a sad day to wake up and see that you have rejected a God. And most atheists deny the existence of a God because they don't want to have anything to go against the justification in their mind to do the acts that they do in their lives. They don't want to answer to a higher power, so it becomes simple for them. Well, if I eliminate the higher power, I need not answer to anybody but myself.
If you have that mindset, Mr. Dan, then, you know, pornography is art. There is no accountability.
Well, look at Nancy Pelosi. She was trying to, in California where she came from, she was trying to lower the age of consent in a girl because of sexual acts and stuff to the age 10. Now, give me a break. I mean, that is sick, and that's sick-mindedness in my feeling. Why would anybody think that? I mean, and then now there's several that are trying to push for 13 as the age of consent. A little girl doesn't know what's right and what's wrong at 13 years old, and surely not at 10 years old.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm reminded of that scripture, Mr. Dan, about, you know, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, you know, than for them to lead these children to sin. And so really it's not going to be just teachers and principals and administrators in schools that's going to have to make these heaven and hell decisions. We're talking about people that really, I guess, in a way, that make these movies and these shows on TV. Because, you know, when you look at TV these days, it's a promotion for evil. I don't know that I even remember seeing anything good on TV anymore, other than the 700 Club, you know, and those on the Christian channels. But most of it, I hate to say, it's a promotion of evil to lead people to sin.
Well, it's it all goes back to that example of, you know, you put a frog in boiling water, it's going to jump out before you can cook them. But if you put a frog in cool water and warm it up slowly, you're going to cook your frog and have a meal. Tolerance is a bad thing. And I hear so many people say, oh, we're a tolerant religion, or we have become tolerant in our beliefs, and so on and so forth. Well, the very word to tolerate means you've accepted something. And once you've accepted something, it's there permanently. You can't oppose it. And if you don't think so, look at the laws that's come in our book. It's like the Roe versus Wade. We have a majority of the people in this country believe, like 66%, that abortion is wrong. But you can't reverse Roe Wade decision, because it's on the books. And just like you said, on the TV programs and stuff, I can remember back, you know, the most risque thing that happened was a kiss on TV, or, you know, they wouldn't even show Mary Tyler Moore when she was pregnant. They only filmed her from the chest up. And look how it's changed since then. I mean, now it's just borderline pornography, and it's worse than that because of the suggestiveness of the things that they say, that they curve the word just enough that they think a child won't understand what they're talking about. But children are not stupid. They know exactly what's being said.
No, and that's the sad part is, you know, they know that these children are taking in everything they're putting before them. You know, the things that are funny, you know, if even though it's evil, if you put a little bit of laughter in there, it's like it's acceptable. It's that acceptable coding, you know, over sin. And we see that so much. And Mr. Dan, we're almost close, and I know I really wanted you to talk about Bible prophecies, but then we've got a conference Saturday, February 9th, that we're asking people to come, parents, teachers, administrators, because this is unfortunately what's going to be happening throughout all the states. What's happened to Texas, where they have put in the All Is God curriculum. The latest deal is that Obama is interested in putting that forth to all the states who are under Common Core, and Alabama is one of those states. So it's time for our pastors to really speak on this issue. I just don't think God's going to take it very lightly that they were silent on this issue. So we're hoping they'll get informed. You know, sometimes I worry that they don't want to understand. They don't want to hear, so that they think that they will not be part of the blame or part of the problem. But Mr. Dan, I wonder about Pontius Pilate. Could he really wash his hands?
Well, he tried to pass the buck, basically, is what he didn't want the responsibility to kill an innocent man, but he still had his hand in it. He could have made the decision. No, you're not gonna crucify this man. He has done nothing wrong. He had the authority to say that. He didn't, so he might as well say crucify him. You know, by not speaking out and trying to act like you don't want to be involved, you pretty much are. You're going to be judged for that. I mean, just as we will be judged for God leading someone for us to witness to, and we don't witness to them. We say, well, we're going to wash our hands of that. I don't want to go into the prisons. You know, even though the Bible tells me to go into the prisons and to teach, you know, that's just not my calling. I'm not going to do that. People always try to justify how to get out of things. I mean, even in ministries, I go into the Pike County Jail every Saturday, and it's amazing how God is working there. But if people don't step out and start things and just go by what their mind thinks, oh, it just wouldn't work out. I'm just not that kind of a person, or I can't do that, or blah, blah, it'll never get done.
And Mr. Dan, you also, I just imagine, you know, that you is like buzzards circling around. You really, and I think of Pontius Pilate, and I hate to say it because I almost think of this with a pastor, that, you know, I see these buzzards, you know, circling around children. And this indoctrination is going to go from kindergarten on up. And they're going to allow these buzzards, when they have, they're the strong man to me, they have the ability to make a difference so that parents are informed, so that congregation, so that children, their congregation will not be misled. And I just think, you know, if they actually could picture it as buzzards, you know, fixing to swoop down and pick on a child, you know, would they allow it to happen? But really in the same manner they're doing that, it's not physical, but it's mental. It's like they're leaving that child alone, unattended, to be picked on by the evil of this world.
Well, and plus, you know, the devil likes scriptures himself, and Islam is a perfect tool for him, and I think that's why he used Muhammad that way. I mean, the whole religion is even based on the most shoddy foundation I've ever historically read about, but that's another story for another day. But the Quran, the writings of the Quran are based on copying scripture from Judaistic writings and Christian writings, twisted just enough, you know, to pull the truth out of it, in other words, and to distort it, but yet make it still believable. And that's what Satan does. He distorts scripture, he distorts truth, and glorifies untruth. And that's pretty much what the Quran is.
I guess nothing's changed since the Garden of Eden, has it?
No. You know, but the earth nature and waits in, what does that scripture say? It expected anticipation of the glorification of God's chosen. You know, they're the very plant life and the animals around us are just waiting for that day that the righteous will be glorified and the curse lifted from the earth, so we can get back into the garden experience, walking and talking with the Lord.
Wow, we want that for everyone, Mr. Daniel. We don't want anybody to go to hell, not even our worst enemy. And with that in mind, Mr. Daniel, you know, if you don't mind, share with them where in the scriptures should they be reading about now as to, you know, what, you know, really where we're at.
Well, Zechariah 8:9, Ezekiel probably 35 through 39. In fact, we're right in the beginning of Ezekiel 38, the Ezekiel war, or the war of the nations coming against Israel. It's a real good place to start. Of course, Daniel 7 and through 12. Well, the book of Revelations is real good right now. The more you read it, you know, that's a book that if you read it, you're promised a blessing. Every time I read the book of Revelations, it seems like an extra little tidbit comes out. Matthew 24 is one of my favorite places to read, and to read slowly and to ascertain exactly what it's trying to say. It'll open your eyes. Don't let people, me, preachers, or anybody twist your mind. Read the scriptures, but before you read the scriptures, ask the Holy Spirit to give you direction in the things that you're reading, and read it in heavy concentration, and in prayerful thought, and it will come out to you. It'll be revealed to you truthfully, not. You know, your mind has a tendency to trick itself. The devil will try to take your mind off of what you're reading. You can read halfway through a book of the Bible and don't even remember what you read because you're just reading because you think it's the right thing to do. I hear so many people, well, I read the Bible through this year. That's not the way to read the Bible. You read the Bible to study. You get you a good study Bible that will lead you all over the Bible to like scriptures. You know, things about the end times. Go ahead.
It's almost like, you know, if you really like you said, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. It's like coming home. And it's, you know, it is like sitting at the feet of God. You know, it is coming home. And we hope that the listeners will find out what that means. God didn't make it hard for us. He loved us so much, he even sent his son so that we could be shown exactly how much he loves us. He didn't want to make it hard. You know, it's such great love, and that's what it's all about. But, Mr. Dan, if you don't mind, share with them, for those that, you know, are very skeptical about what we're saying. And I remember there's some, the scripture about, you know, one man, I think a woman may be in the field, or is it a man out in the field, and one will be two men in the field, one will be taken, something like that. I mean, it just seems like we really need to get ready because we just don't know how close we are.
Well, Christ speaks of it in the prophecies, and the Old Testament speak of it also as the birth pains of the coming of the Messiah. As these travesties come upon the earth, they're going to become worse and more intense and more frequent, just as a woman in travail just before the child is born. Same thing with the coming of the Messiah. These things grow in intensity and get closer together the closer it is to the Messiah's coming. Now, just a sign to those that are listening out there, we're coming into what I call a dark cycle, the waning of the moon. We'll go through a few days of total darkness where there is no moon. The scriptures talk about those that love the darkness, they like the darkness because they do their deeds in the dark. And if you'll start keeping track of the dark cycles and see that the things that happen during the dark cycles, it's pretty remarkable that most of the onslaughts from Islam seem to happen during the dark cycles, from the crescent to the crescent, from the waning crescent to the waxing crescent. It's just interesting. So be open-minded to yourself to see the signs around you. Search for truth. Ask the Supreme Being to guide you into truth, and he will guide you into the Messiah, him being the Messiah in flesh. He will lead you to his feet. It just takes a step at a time, but you can get there quicker just by asking the Lord to come into your heart and to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And he will take the blinders, the veil out from in front of you, and you'll be able to see things with a different mindset from a spiritual standpoint rather than a fleshly standpoint. So the shortcut to getting there is just to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and say that you believe in the blood that he shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, and that he's taking care of your judgments and what you deserve in punishment, and has given you grace and glorification because of his blood. And then seek his kingdom. Seeking his kingdom first, all of the things that you desire in your life that he thinks that you will need will be granted unto you. It's just an automatic thing. That's what faith is all about.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Ann. You said it's an automatic thing. That's what faith is all about. And I know I have to talk to myself because there's a side that wants to be fearful. But then I have to, you know, believe in the Word of God and put my faith and trust in him because that's what I said I would do. And there's a struggle. There's a struggle. But, you know, God has never failed us. And so, you know, God is awesome. And so we invite you, listeners, to get to know him for yourself. As we say, you know, he doesn't love just Mr. Dan or me. You know, he loves you too, very tenderly. And he's just waiting for you to pray and, you know, and ask him to enter your life. But with that, Mr. Dan, would you mind giving them an invitation and closing the show in prayer?
Yeah, those of you who do not know the Lord out there, and even those who do know the Lord, can follow in my prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just love you with all my heart, and I want to know more about you. So I ask you to come and dwell in my innermost being. Take up residence with my soul and my body, Father, and teach me the things that you would have me learn. Lord, I accept you as my Messiah and my Savior. I accept the point that you died on that cross and shed your blood for me, and that you miraculously was resurrected 3 days later by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you are God. And you are the Son of God, and you are the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh of God. You are one. And, Father, I just ask you to come in, dwell, teach, and give me a love that I've never felt before, unexplainable, Father, that I see so many around me that have, Father. Lead me into the paths of righteousness. Prepare me for your coming. And I give you all the praise and glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Mr. Dan. And listeners, may the Lord bless you and shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Thank you, Mr. Dan, and talk to you again later. Bye.
Bye.